Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangade. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Grand Rising. And thank you all for joining us on this Thursday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we're joining Dr. Debbie Green as she once again helps us with an issue that is all too common. Yesterday's pain is today's trauma. It is too common that we as a society, as a people, are exposed to homicidal impacts from mass shootings. Over a decade of mass shootings in schools and in and out in communities, populated areas, are still stifling. To think that we're living in a time of murder as an everyday, up close and personal experience in social media and current events that rip through the fabric of our lives. Since February 15th, 2023, according to the Axios analysis of the Gun Violence Archive, the U.S. has already seen more than 70 mass shootings this year,
and 690 last year, an increase of 153% jump from 2014. Why does this matter? It is the after effects on the human psyche that renders fear thinking and a sense of helplessness. Join Dr. Debbie Green to take a closer look and discuss the matter in full and learn of ways to deal with the trauma in our modern times. So we'll be back with Dr. Debbie Green to take a look at the effects of these mass shootings psychologically. What is it doing to our psyche? And how is it affecting our children? And how is it affecting our sense of safety and security? What do we do to stop feeling helpless, like sitting ducks waiting to be slaughtered? How do we restore a sense of power and a belief that we, in fact, are in control of our lives? We'll be back after this break, and if you're listening online, we want you to join this conversation. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And you can join Dr. Debbie Green live on Facebook and YouTube. Simply go to Soulful Solutions on Facebook to see Dr. Debbie Green. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back with Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community actors.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job? relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Debbie Green live, and we want you to call in 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you are ready to share your thoughts. We're talking about the impact of the repeated mass shootings and the feeling of helplessness that it is giving people as they continuously watch with a sense of helplessness. And it seems that the government is paralyzed to do anything to change the condition. What is it inside of people that makes them explode and makes them unsafe to be around? How do we get rid of the feeling that we may be next? How do we get rid of the feeling that we are powerless to stop the assault? What do we say to our children who are terrorized and terrified to even attend school? Is more reporting on these events simply causing them to escalate? We've seen the increases. We've seen that Congress seems unable to agree on some basic gun control legislation. The proponents of guns are insisting that the way to keep us safe is to make sure everybody has the power to have a gun. And yet, nothing seems to be changing. And the sense of helplessness and hopelessness is frightening, keeping us in a low state of fear. What should we do? What should we be doing? And what is the best way to handle the state of fear? Well, we're joining Dr. Debbie Green as she gives us some insight on the best way to respond in order to feel empowered rather than endangered and victimized by these repeated mass shootings. And you can join her live on Soulful Solutions on Facebook and YouTube.
You're going to be okay. And if you're a praying person like me, hey, it's time to pray, y'all. We're going to go over some of the statistics. Since 2023 has come in, you will not believe these statistics. You will not believe it. But it's true. We're even going to go over some statistics from last year. Numbers. I did a little research before doing this show today. And I was astonished, to be honest with you. I mean, I wasn't shocked to the point where I'm like, okay, is this really happening? No, I know it's happening. It's just that it just seems like no one's doing anything. There's no precautions from the government, the county, or the state. It's like it's just happening over and over again. So we're going to get started, and I just wanted to check in with you. And again, you know, take care of you. That's what you do. I see my wonderful Kofi back in.
Yes.
Yes. So,
Grand Rising.
Good morning. Grand Rising.
Yes.
Talk about this topic, honey. We were all in the office. This was what they call a water cooler talk yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Talking about how, you know, people are affected by. Not just, you know, we just took one topic, and that was mass killings, shootings.
Mm-hmm.
But just the overall of just death, the overall death, like how, you know, far as homicidal death, not death in the natural, homicidal death.
Yes.
Criminal, someone taking somebody else's life.
Yes.
Now, by shootings, and all these other ways of taking someone else's life. So I want to kind of share something with everyone because I do work in an institution that we see things up close and personal, how people are affected by also mass shootings and death and grief and all these things, which leads to a sense of helplessness.
Yeah.
And when we are helpless, then if we stay in that mindset too long, we go into this thing called oppression.
Ooh.
And oppression leads to suppression.
Mm.
Suppression leads to regression, and the last stage of that is called depression.
Oh. Yeah.
So we're going to go through some of those after effects, and I had to pick a topic because everything is so wide of what would even cause or have a contributor to mental illness, but mass shootings is one. Okay?
Yeah.
Mass shootings. It's the aftermath. It's the aftermath. So you got the primary grief of mass shooting, then you got the aftermath of mass shooting. Now, I took the liberty of doing some research, Naima.
Yeah.
And this is what I found. And like I was telling my listeners and viewers, that it is most profound that mass shootings have been affecting us for a long period of time, since the very first one in 2005, because that's when we really started to see it on a higher scale.
What was that first one? I'm trying to remember. I just remember Columbine. Was that the first one, or was there one before that?
Now, it wasn't a school, though. It was, see. Let's find out, because I know I did. The first one was in 2005, and that one, let's see here. Go pull up some information. Those are the first school shootings. Now, that's what I'm talking about, the first, because, you know, we have a timeline on that, and that timeline is, the very first one is 2005, which is going to be March 21st, 2005. A 16-year-old shot and killed seven people at Red Lake Senior High School in Red Lake, Minnesota, and wounded five, and the dead included an unarmed security guard and the interest of the school, then a teacher and five students, and, of course, the gunman committed suicide. That was the very first one. And, of course, you know, the others started from every year, from starting from 2005, we've had a mass killing. And these are just school killings that I'm talking about.
Right.
But there were other mass killings after that. The school shootings were just a periodic, again, there was not one year that was not, you
we've
know.
Had one every year since.
Yeah, one every year since,
that's
and still
insane.
Doing it, yes. Now, again, that's the school shootings and the college shootings. But we also have now, things have expanded since 2015, where the populated areas where people were, you know, being murdered, just like in an open area like Las Vegas, you know, open areas in, like in California, in parks and things of that nature, where snipers were doing that as well. And we ask ourselves the question, you know, what goes into the mind, or what is happening in the mind, if I should say, of a person that wakes up and decides that he wants to, he, she, because if you notice, it's more men than women that's doing things of this nature.
Yeah.
So it's more the men, I did the research, male counterparts from ages 13 all the way up to 45.
Wow.
You know, are doing the mass shootings. We could say out of just last year, you know, the mass shootings were definitely all male. I don't remember any that was female. If anybody has any other information out there that I didn't...
Wasn't there one shooting?
Other information?
That where it was a woman at a school. I'm trying to remember the name of the school. I can't remember offhand. I probably look it up. But a woman, one woman that I know of was at a school, one of the school shootings.
What was that one? Was there one woman? Because I might have...
Yeah, I think it was one woman.
...skipped over that one.
Yeah, I remember, because I remember that was at a school.
Okay.
I can't remember
okay.
the city that it happened, though.
Yeah, because, again, the majority of them are males. They...
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not saying that women don't have those tendencies. I'm just saying we see it up close and personal. So I want to give you some statistics here. This is according to the analysis that Axios and the Gun Violence Archive, actually that's where I got my information from, since yesterday, which is the 15th of February, the U.S. has already seen more than 70 mass shootings in this year as of Wednesday
wow.
morning,
wow.
and that was yesterday.
Insanity.
That was yesterday. Okay. At this pace, the nation will see over 576 by the end of the year. Now, of course, we're still at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, we're just in February.
Last year, the U.S. experienced 690 mass killings, according to the Gun Violence Icon. That's a jump from 150% jump from 2014. From 2014 to 2022, there was a 60% increase in the number of children younger than 11 who died from mass shootings.
Wow. Wow.
pause.
Yes.
I had to pause.
Under 11.
What is going on, y'all? What is really?
This is not normal. It's not in any way normal. And it seems to me that after the first one happened, a major change should have happened that didn't happen. And what is the saying? If you fail to learn from the past, you're condemned to repeat it. So it would seem that the first step would be to remove weapons of war that allow mass shootings, but you can just shoot rounds and rounds and rounds of ammunition at a group of people, and it's not even time for someone to stop you. It would seem that assault weapons should have been removed, the first thing, from the population, but greed and stupidity kept us from taking that step the first time it happened. 2005, we're talking, you know, it's almost been 20 years, but 17 years, and we still haven't figured out that one basic thing. And then there's some mental health challenges that should have been addressed that didn't happen even then. So are we not
right.
learning anything?
That's it. This is the issue. This is the issue. It's the mental health of the American people.
Yeah.
And that's what, that is the issue.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, and I mean, not, I understand that we cannot control people. Okay, I'm not talking about that. We have, and I say we as a nation, okay? It has been such a overwhelming issue with mental health. And it has bleeded through the fabric of our lives.
Yes.
That's because it is not a prominent, important, significant issue. Not in our authorities, as far as the police department or the authorities of the government officials, the authorities of anyone who says, oh, we're going to lead and protect. So all the lobbyists, okay, Naima, in all the states, mental illness is not on the books. No one's talking about, okay, look at the mental health, the mental capacities of these people that are committing the crime.
And what triggered it? What triggered it? We've got a caller on the line. I know we got to take a break, so maybe we can take that caller right after the break. But what?
That's what I'm saying. They're focusing and they're not focusing. You know, because the thing about this is, until we understand that yesterday's pain is today's trauma, and do something about it,
right.
It's just going to keep happening, and it's going to keep bleeding through the fabric of our lives and our children's lives and their children's lives. So what is going to happen, and we can project this now, okay, these are the numbers. The numbers don't lie to you.
Right.
The numbers are not going to lie.
Right. It's happening. And there's a reason for it, and I think the frustration comes with the inertia. You know, no one who we have put in positions to protect the society knows what to do. So criminalizing the people who do this, that doesn't do anything. You know, who wants punishment of someone after the fact? The devastation has already happened. The trauma is already here. There has to be prevention, which means seeing the signs and the causes of mental illness before it erupts in someone's mental explosion into a mass shooter. I mean, it's so much easier to prevent than to try to pick up the pieces of a shattered society. So this is where our focus has to be. And since so many of these are happening at schools, what is the environment we're creating in our schools?
All right.
We got to look at that. It's happening at the workplace. What are we creating in our workplaces that cause people to explode? I mean, not to pick on the post office, but the fact that it's such a high-stress place that the term going postal has even been coined for somebody to go into a workplace and just start shooting up people, because that is a place where people have been pushed to the brink of explosion. What are we doing in our workplaces that push people to that point? What are we doing in our school environments that push people to that point?
What are we doing in our homes?
What are we doing in our homes that push people to the point where they explode? If we don't fix that, we can't stop this from happening over and over and over again. And I think the first step is we got to figure out, where are we not being kind to each other? Where are we being so mean-spirited and hurtful that people just can't take it anymore? What are we doing to each other? We're doing this. Can we look at what we're doing to each other that's hurtful? And can we stop?
Well, we're going to expand a little bit of that once we come back from break, and looking at some of the after effects and, most of all, some symptomatics of the youth. And as well as, you know, looking at these topical areas of what goes on in a serial killer's mind, what type of symptomatics that they have even as a child that one should look for, and also the preventive tips. So we're going to be right back.
All right.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature, so Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Solutions. My name is Dr. Debbie Green. Well, with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of The Female Solution. And for those who are just joining us, we are talking about the aftermath of mass shootings, a traumatized America. Please feel free to call in if you have any comments at 515-605-9325. Or, and I have my email on the Facebook page, so if you want to join us there, you can also join us as well as YouTube. Thank you for the subscribing on YouTube channel. Again, let's take that phone call before I go into what I want to say. Thank you so much.
Area code 312-597. Your mic is open. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question or comment for Dr. Debbie.
Good morning. This is Koofy James.
Good morning, Koofy James.
Good morning, Mr. Koofy.
All right, ladies. You know, I was just I did a paper on this subject a few years ago, and I got really deep into it because this doesn't happen at black schools. This happens at, as far as school shootings, it happens predominantly at European schools. A lot of times it's a trigger. A lot of times it was from a student who was from the mental health department, mental health side of the school. You know, you have... You know, your regular students, then you have a certain class that is primarily for the mentally ill. They were in the same school. They were in the same building. And a lot of times those mental, challenged students would interact with some of the other students and get a lot of negative comments. Oh, you drive the white bus. Oh, you drive this, you know, the white bus.
Short bus.
You're this. Huh?
Yeah, the little short bus, the one that has the, educationally, mentally handicapped EMH students.
Right, they call it the special bus.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times that was a common thread that I saw in these killings, that they had the mentally challenged schools connected with, the normal students. And I'm like, wait a minute, this should be divided. If this is where mostly the killers are coming from, because these students, they don't have an ability to access a situation. They just go into killing mode.
Mm.
I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna show you guys. And a lot of the mentally ill students, I found out, come from a family who has trauma and fear in their home. And when you have trauma and fear in someone's home, guess what? Guess what equipment is in at home? What do you think it is?
A gun.
A gun. A peaceful person, a person that's, thinking right. I'm not going to have a gun because, whatever. But a person who has some fear or some trauma or don't know how to handle a situation, they're going to have a gun in the house. So I found out these students, most of the mental health challenged students had guns in their home and could easily take the gun with them to school. And I was like, wow. And you're so right. Nobody's breaking this down, but I think there should be a separation. It should be you should gate off the mentally challenged students or have just a school for them, because this is where a lot of the victims are. It comes from a normal setting, too, from bullying and stuff like that. But if they're projecting, if there's 79 shootings already and they project 500, and they're not really putting gun raiders in school, gun detectors or anything like that, they're actually letting this happen.
Well, that's what it seems like. Well, let's address some of the things that you've said, and thank you so much for joining in this conversation. You know, I'm thinking about the recent shooting by a six-year-old. How do you even wrap your mind around that? A six-year-old that pulled a gun out of his backpack and shot a teacher. And, you know, she had to try to hustle the other students out of the classroom, you know, before it escalated. But just trying to figure out something like that, first of all, how does a six-year-old have access to a loaded gun and bring it to school? That was just unimaginable. But, you know, like Kofi's saying, when you have guns in your home, parents, whatever's happening in the home, the child knows where the gun is. And
negligence.
Extreme negligence.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it makes you also wonder what is happening in that classroom that created that kind of a hostility. And this is not to blame the victims, but to understand that we're ignoring when someone is in emotional distress. And any of us who've been the victim of bullying, we know that that can push a child over the edge, even if it's a feeling of being bullied by a teacher or humiliated by a teacher. And many of our teachers are using humiliation as a classroom management technique. So you never know what you may say to a student that was so hurtful that you trigger them to go over the edge. And then I think of the Columbine students, excessive bullying and teasing. People understood that these were the outcast students and made fun of. Why wasn't the adults, why weren't the adults more sensitive to the dynamics of what was happening between the students to sensitize them that you don't make fun of people, you can't be cruel and hurtful? We should have responded or understood or been the more sensitive even before that situation. And,
well,
you know, what do we do about these things to prevent them before they happen?
As I was telling you prior to me, you know, speaking about these issues and understanding the factors, the symptomatics of a serial killer, okay? Now, you're talking about something rational in an irrational world, Naima.
Mm.
Okay? And the thing about this is because the capacity of the mindset of individuals, and again, we have billions of people that's walking this earth, and we don't know where the landmines are.
Mm.
The landmines can be as young as, again, 6 years old to 100. We don't know where the landmines are. We don't understand the pressure of what pressure does to any type of mind, every heart or being, because the individuals that you are talking about and the individuals who have done these horrific acts, they didn't just wake up one day, oh, I'm just going to go get a gun, however I got the gun, you see what I'm saying, and I'm just going to kill someone. No, this was premeditated, thought out murder.
Yes. Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So we go back to the mind of a child, because that's what I was going to really focus on. Now, in my field of study and in my experience, I see certain things in children as early as 11 years old. Okay? Now, there is sociopathic symptomatic orders, mental behavior. Sociopathic behavior, let's keep it short and simple, such as, you know, setting fires, such as killing animals and doing these types of things on a regular basis. That means that emotional part of that human being, when it comes to life, is not all intact. All right. There's other factors that would even cause that and make that a reality, but we don't have enough time to even go into that. So let's just start there. Okay? So here we go. Little Bobby grew up in a home. You know, it looked and appeared to be normal from the outside in, that is. But then what has happened is little Bobby grew up in a family where the father was very hard on him and was emotionally unavailable. And mom was very passive, or vice versa. But the child did not get the nurturing it needed. So which means that it only stayed in anger and bitterness.
Mm.
Because if you don't have love, appropriate love, what else do you know but anger and bitterness? You don't know anything else because
right.
It's not there. You see what I'm saying? For you to receive it. So those habits and those, you know, parental influencers, okay, we don't blame it all on parents, but then what else can we do? All right, because that's where they grew up at. A child is birthed by a mother. A mother might have went through something in her childhood, so they might have gotten this intrauteral, okay, about different emotions, things of that nature. Here comes the child, all right? Here comes the child growing up into an environment that is not emotionally available.
Mm.
Okay, so when there's no emotional availability, the child does not feel nurtured. It does not feel loved. And it's only to certain degrees and statistics that a person starts to not value life. Now, some people just, you know, become, you know, passive aggressive. Most of the time, you know, become passive aggressive, easily to hurt, easily to get angered, easily to offend. Okay. And not emotionally available for themselves. That's the normal part. All right. Then we go a little above that area, which is the abnormal part. Anger turns into rage. Rage turns into bitterness. And now it's either going to come inward, which is suicidal tendencies, or it's going to come outward, which is homicidal tendencies. So it builds up now, okay? It builds up. It builds up mentally, emotionally, spiritually, energies in this human being. Now, a child's mind, okay, when they say child, a young person, again, the logic, the reason, the rationale is not developed until they're 25. So a lot of times they don't know how or even have the inability to rationalize or analyze any particular situation. So if they were bullied, it's just going to add to the bitterness and the anger. If an adult did it, it's just going to, if an adult said, oh, you're not good enough, it just adds to the anger and bitterness. If there's still no present love in that person's life, after they're 15, 18, 20 years old, because their relationship capacities have been affected by their ego, because they think everyone thinks, I am this, I am that, and I'm not who I even, matter of fact, I don't even know who I am. I have no idea. All I know is it's happening to me. They're doing something to me. So we have that victim mindset enslaved into a negative thinking, self-defeating, self-sabotaging, self-destructive behavior. Okay, continuance. We go from mild, moderate, to severe. So now, that person that was a child, a little boy, a little girl, whatever, then turns into something totally different. The bitterness has become innate and has consumed this person's mindset, this person's heart, this person's being. I can't take it anymore. Oh, I'm going to show them, whoever them is. I just want to inflict the pain that I'm feeling inside. Huh? And they don't think about it, they just plan it. Suicidal tendencies are planned most of the time.
Yes.
Considering this particular factor, it's planned. When a person gets to that point, if they want to project pain onto something And if you notice, it sometimes it turns into murdercide, where a man would take a gun, right?
Kill everybody and then
family,
himself.
And then he kills himself.
So,
or that's still mass killing.
Yeah.
See, mass killing is anything three or more.
Three or more is considered mass. So,
yes.
So if a person is really suicidal and full of anger and rage, their desire is to cause pain before they kill themselves.
Because it's consumed. It's so much inside of them till it's almost like it's like a volcano. If I can compare it to a metaphor, it's like a volcano, Naima. What does a volcano do? It bubbles underneath its surface for years and years and years. So one day it just explodes, and it is fast away. It just takes off. And that's when that person, then I don't know if there's a small smidgen of rationale of thought, because there isn't one. Oh my goodness, I don't want to face this. And then they take themselves out.
Because most of the time, when we get to these points,
that could be in the whole plan in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, when you have these situations where somebody's holding a bunch of people hostage, that's always a very tense situation, because if their intention was to eventually kill themselves, they have no incentive to let everybody else go. They have no incentive to let anybody live. So people who are in these hostage negotiation situations, that's got to be extremely distressful, because here you have somebody who literally has nothing to live for. If they get caught, they're going to be punished. And whatever statement they intended to make with, you know, holding hostages, threatening to kill everybody, it's already escalated to the point where there's no good ending to it. So how do you even convince that person not to kill everybody before they kill themselves?
But see, now you're still doing it. You're looking at rationale
and they're not rational, right?
See, I mean, in our mind, it's rational, it's reasonable, it's logic to consider human life as a very important thing, is it not?
Right, but that's already gone inside of them.
But in their mind, it's not, because remember, they're not emotionally available for themselves. So if you can't feel for yourself, how are you gonna feel for somebody else?
Right. Right. This,
you cannot.
You can't.
That part of your being is not intact.
Mm.
And it came from, like I said, areas of bitterness, areas of anger, areas of discontentment, self-defeat, self-sabotage, self-destruction. Now, the factors around those areas, how can a child, just a baby, come into this world to that point and then, you know, rising to the occasion of, let's say, 10 years old, 6 years old, feel that it is so angered to the point where it wants to destruct and kill another human being. 6 years old, Naima.
Mm.
That child should be sitting somewhere playing with his peers in a normal state of mind. So the question is, what was happening, not just in the school, my dear, what was going on at home?
Yes.
That's where it came from. It came from home. See, this is what I'm saying. All of the serial killers, all of the ones who are committing massive crimes, it starts in the family. It starts at home. And see, when it starts at home, then what happens is whatever is added to that in schools, added to that in social media, added to that, it just makes it fester even more. That's
right.
All it does. But it starts at home. So one should ask the question, like, what's going on in my children's minds? What is it? Okay, with the bullying, let's just take one topic.
Yeah.
Bullying. When a child goes to school and a child is bullied, I had a patient the other day at school to the point where she wanted to commit suicide and attempted because she got attacked at school. This was a girl.
And
a 13-year-old girl.
Did any adults?
I mean, physically.
Physically attacked. So
yes.
How did the So how did the adults respond? How did the teachers? How did her parents? How did others?
Did nothing.
Oh, there we go. That's it.
School did nothing. And when the parents called the police said, "Well, we can't do anything because it didn't occur outside of the school. It occurred in the school." So when the parent went back to the school to complain and wanted to file a case, they said, "Oh, we cannot file against this child, you know, any type of criminal intent because it's in a school property."
That's crazy. So nobody's responsible for the safety of that child.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. So they literally have to come out of the school system, all right, and go and file a civil suit against who? The child?
The parent?
The child in jail? Or whoever was responsible? Because these kids were under the age of 14.
Wow.
That attacked this 13-year-old girl.
Wow.
They kicked her so bad till she got her leg got fractured.
Wow.
And had to wear a cast.
And no one can be held accountable. See, that is why.
You see what I'm saying?
That's why we're seeing mass shootings. These things happen, and no one comes to the rescue of our children. No, the adults do not stop the behavior. The parents of the bulliers do not take responsibility. The administration does not take responsibility. So what happens to a child after they're picked on and no one comes to their defense? And if they do happen to have access to a gun, well, are we surprised? Because your person that's suicidal, you know, how easy is it to decide I'm going to get revenge before I take my life? And then next thing you know, they've come to school, shot up the place, shot up the teachers who did nothing as they were being bullied. And we never know the inside story of these cases when someone takes their own life because we can't hear from them after they've done it. But certainly someone knows what's happening. And
yes,
we need to take responsibility for the way we treat each other. Things don't happen in a vacuum. Someone was treated badly. Koofy mentioned the children that might have been teased because they're, you know, EMH or labeled educationally mentally handicapped, but really, most of the time, the students who are subjected to teasing, they're right in there with the regular students, and they're teased because of some other thing. Even making a student feel bad because, say, if they've got difficulty reading, or maybe they stutter, or some other thing, or maybe they're overweight. These are students that are in the general population, so to speak, but there's an insensitivity, and the teachers are choosing to ignore it, and the students who have low self-esteem, they're the ones who become the bullies. They feel like, if I can make this person feel bad about themselves, then I'm going to feel better about myself. So it's a sickness that's in all of us, in the bullier and the bullied, and the one in authority, the teacher, who chooses not to see it, perhaps maybe because they look at it as normal childhood behavior. But meanness is not normal. So I think the first thing we need to do as a society is raise our standards of what is acceptable human behavior. Meanness is not acceptable. I don't care if it comes from the parent to the child, from the teacher to the child, from the children to each other. Meanness should not be acceptable behavior, and it should be stopped as soon as it occurs and corrected. That's what I think is one step we can take.
I want to go through some protocol trainings that I think that, you know, the system actually needs in the school systems, because I don't think we have in-service training enough. You know, I really don't think that there's not enough protocols in place to protect our children just from mass shooting, of discrimination or whatever the other factors, because I want to go through some other factors that causes our mass shootings as well. But we're going to take this break, and we'll be right back.
Right. And if you're on our switchboard now and got a question or comment, please press 1. And if you're watching us on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Facebook or YouTube. Write in your comments. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So we invite you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back after these messages. So stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
My name is Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of The Female Solution. And for those who are just joining us, we're talking about the aftermath of mass shootings, a traumatized America. And, you know, I just want to actually also give you some statistics of what's happening in our young people's minds, okay? Since all of these things has been very evident and we've been dealing with this on a higher level of, you know, atrocities. I mean, what is really going on with the suicide rate? Now, remember, when a person is in a suicidal mindset, that means they are not emotionally available for themselves as well as anyone else. At that point, they've made some to end all life. Now, that does not mean they're just going to end their life. There's a good chance if they wanted to really project this outwardly, they may try to end someone else's life as well. So let me give you statistics also from the CDC when it comes to this. They did a research just recently on teen girls engulfed in sadness and violence and also teen boys. And this is what the report says. Teen girls are experiencing record high levels of sadness and violence, according to a new report published Monday by the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. According to the report, 57% of teen girls in 2021 reported feeling persistently sad or hopeless over the past year, up from 36% in 2011, and the highest rate seen in the last decade. By comparison, 29% of teen boys reported feeling persistently sad or hopeless in 2021, compared to 21% in 2011. LGBTQ plus students and students with same-sex partners also reported high levels of sadness and hopelessness in 2021 at a 69% and 78% respectively. All right, about 30% of teen girls said they have seriously considered attempting suicide,
wow,
up from 19% in 2011. Yeah, I had to pause right there. Listen to that. This is serious. 30% from just 2011, from the 19%. About 14% of teenage boys said the same, a marginal increase from 14% in 2011. LGBTQ students, 45%, and students with same-sex partners, 58%, also reportedly seriously considered suicide. Yeah, I'm pausing for a reason. I want whoever hearing this, y'all got children out there, from the ages of 8 to 21? Just because your child is quiet? Just because your child stays in a room on their phone? Just because your child don't share and communicate with you like they should? They anger easily. They're irritated. They're frustrated. They hardly eat. They up all night, walking all night. You better pay attention. Something is happening.
You know, one of the things that I've observed.
Let me bring it on down, Zion, because I get emotional.
Well, you know,
I see it up close and personal.
And this is
what I see every day. Every day.
Yeah,
I think
our parents don't realize how they contribute to that, because the way they learn parenting is the way they were parented. A lot of reprimands, a lot of negative verbal expressions, fussing at a child, a lot of punitive behavior. So sensitivity is not something that was modeled for us. And when you have a child, like you mentioned, you know, someone as young as 8 years old, 7, 6 years old, that's already angry and violent, how many years of verbal abuse did they get from their parents? And parents don't see it as verbal abuse. They think it's being a strong parent. They think it's being a firm parent. They don't know that insults, calling names, threats, this is verbal abuse. Making a child feel bad, saying things like they're stupid, hard-headed, lazy, making them feel bad about who they are. And because this is the way we were parented, we don't know that this is not the way you build a child's self-esteem. If they don't have a strong foundation of self-esteem, they don't have the tools to cope when people are unkind and cruel and mean to them outside the home. So if inside the home you're made to feel like nothing, you're beat down emotionally, you're teased, You're threatened, you're even beaten. This is the foundation that you're standing on. It's like standing on quicksand. It's not supporting you. So then you go outside the home, you have teachers that ridicule you if you aren't able to perform up to par. You have classmates that tease you if it may be physically. You might have issues too skinny, too fat, too tall, too short, whatever it is they choose to pick on to make you feel even worse about yourself, because you're already attracting that energy of bullying because you already feel bad about yourself. So you don't have the internal means to stand up for yourself and feel good about yourself, so then you end up being bullied, and then you have teachers that are insensitive, and if you're angry, that anger gets expressed with misbehavior or maybe not paying attention, so then you're further reprimanded, publicly humiliated by adults in authority. So all of this becomes a part of who you are or who you feel about, what you feel about yourself, and there's nothing to make you feel better about yourself because everything you get is a negative message. So it happens very early. So now this person in their teen years, this person who's already feeling bad, sad, low self-esteem, nothing to give them a sense of purpose or hope or good feelings about themselves, what else are they going to become other than sad and suicidal? And the flip side of that, the one who bullies is the one who's reacting the same, it's the same energy, low self-esteem. But one responds with, I'm going to make someone else feel bad about themselves. That way I can feel powerful. I can feel better about myself because I'm taking this negative energy that I'm getting from home and I'm putting it on someone else. So now I become the bullier since I'm bullied at home. So the victim becomes the victimizer, and they find another victim who then is another victim. And all of it comes from how are we making our children feel about themselves in the home. Everything stems from that. And
everything stems from the family.
That's
what it does. So when the family is traumatized, you produce traumatized children.
Yes.
Okay? You produce traumatized children that have inner child tendencies of self-destruction.
Yes.
Okay? So I want to give the rest of these statistics because I think this is very important. American Indian and Alaska Native students at 27% report higher rates of such thoughts than students of their racial or ethnic background. So, everything, everyone, every nation, every culture is being affected by suicide right now, just so you know. It ain't a black thing, it ain't a white thing, it ain't a brown thing, it's a reality thing, okay? 18% of teen girls said that they had experienced some form of sexual violence in the past year, compared to only 5% of teen boys.
Mm.
The rate of teen girls have experienced sexual violence have increased by 20% since 2017. When the CDC first started tracking this measure, the percentage of male students who experienced sexual violence by anyone did not change. Yeah, I missed the pause. So what's going on? Look at this. Nearly 50% of teen girls said they had ever been forced to have sex, a 27% jump from 2019, and the first increase since CDC started. 4% teenage boys said they had ever been forced to have sex with no increase. 18% American Indian or Alaska Native teens reported ever having been forced to have sex higher than students of other racial and ethnic groups. LGBTQ teens, 20%. And teens who had the same-sex partners, 37%, were more likely to have ever been forced to have sex. These are contributors to suicide.
Sexual violence,
mental pressure, peer pressure, family dysfunctions. domestic and family violence are contributors to suicide. Now, that's just suicide. Now, when does suicide then turn into homicide?
Murdercide, homicide.
You see how this trend is?
Yeah.
It starts in the home, and then it continues. Because we are a part of all connected tissue all around you. There's no one that is separated. We are all on this thing called Earth. Okay? Ain't nobody separated. Ain't nobody in another zone. No, we're all on this Earth, and we're all connected. So when someone hurts one person, they hurt us all. Right?
Yeah.
So this suicide thing that I'm really, really focusing on, because the thing about it is most mass shootings result in suicide.
Yes. They don't intend to come out of it alive.
No. No.
Yeah.
So what is it in okay, let's go back. Family then comes out to in the community, then comes out into the mass murder.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a trend, is it not? Do you see the trend?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a trend. However, the thing about this is, again, state, government, federal, it's not doing anything. Church, nothing.
It's like the teacher that watches a child being bullied and
does
nothing.
To make a big difference.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Starts with us.
Yes. It starts with those who know that something must be done differently. Because the government is like the teacher that watches a child get bullied and picked on every day and just ignores it like it's not happening. It's the same thing. How does a child feel when they're not being protected? As a matter of fact, they're being victimized. They're forced to keep going to the same places victimizing them every day. How does that feel? And people act like it's not happening. It's the same thing. That's the way we feel when the government does nothing and we're still being victimized every day. It's that same feeling of distress, helplessness. Why am I not being protected by the people I'm entrusting with my protection? So that's how our children feel when they go to classrooms and they're bullied and the teacher does nothing, the principal does nothing. They act like it's not happening. So it's the same kind of feeling that we have when assault weapons take out scores of people and those who we have put in positions of authority do nothing. So as you said, we, the people, must do something. And
you have to. You have no other choice in the matter. Pay attention to your children.
Yes.
Pay attention to their actions. Pay attention to what they're not saying.
Yeah.
Pay attention to what they are saying. Sometimes we be working so much, going back and forth from school to work, or responsibility. And I understand. I was a single mother for years, going through grad school and working full time. I understand. But one thing you have to know, pay attention to your children.
Yeah.
Don't just assume that your child is okay because it's quiet.
Yeah. You know what I find?
We have a cover on our Facebook page.
Mm.
Grand Rising, Queens. This is from Queen Vianna Robinson.
Yeah.
Holly Weird and negative rap music plays a big part in this dysfunction we're seeing. Absolutely. That's our environment.
Yeah. That's
our environment.
They're reflecting the society. But you know what I find really odd? Now schools are doing these shooter drills, you know, what to do if an active shooter comes into the school, how you practice hiding in the closet and under desks. And I'm thinking, how insane is that? Okay, now we've normalized these mass shootings, so now we're going to prepare for them like we used to prepare for, you know, a tornado or a fire or something.
Some type of drill.
Now it's a shooter drill, an active shooter drill. How insane is that, that we have now made it a normal thing to prepare for? That's insanity.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
No, it's not, because if they go in and they start shooting, they don't care. They'll look. When a shooter is one thing about a serial killer, Naima, that I've learned, and I'm not saying I'm a specialist on this, so I'm not a specialist, but I know this much. When that person is behind that trigger and that automatic rifle, when you pull that trigger, you're just spraying, just like spraying water. That's all you're doing.
Yes.
You're not, that person becomes totally numb and out of himself, herself, nothing. That frontal lobe right there is shut
non-functional.
Down.
Yes.
Shut down. There's no rationale. There's no reason. There's no, wait a minute, what did I do? None of that is happening. That is full-formed murder. That's it, right? The problem is they're not putting nothing on the gates of the schools. Gates meaning the doorways. We need metal detectors, okay? I don't care who they are, from the schools, staff, to the janitorial, to every child, every parent that walks through there should have they should have, if they don't have anyone standing there, that's fine. But at least do a just a detector of saying someone has some type of metal on them, be it a knife, a paperclip, I don't know. I'm just saying. It just needs to be there. Because I pay really close attention to the last one that we had, the one in Texas. And he was walking around the perimeter of the school. He had already walked through the gates and walking around the perimeter. That day they were preparing because school was getting ready to out for the spring or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
The door was wide open. And he just walked in there. That's exactly what he did. And the thing about it is all the cameras show how he was walking around the perimeter, looking inside, holding the gun. It wasn't concealed. He was holding the gun. So what about the cameras? Who was watching cameras?
Yeah, right. Well, why even have cameras if nobody's watching them?
Apparently,
a surveillance system.
Was watching. The police said, the authorities didn't even get called until 20 minutes later. It was already done.
Oh, how
half
sad.
Of it was finished.
That is so sad.
Half was finished. And they caught him coming out of the building. That's when they started firing and killing him. But he had already did the mass instruction and started killing the children.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers. That's what I'm saying. There's no precautionary measures. We can say, okay, it's the families. We can say it's the society, it's schools. But there's still protection. We don't have any. We can call out everything that we thought that will affect a human being's mind to make them, you know, convince them, influence them to be self-destructive. Okay, we can't save everybody. Let's get that out of the way. We can't rescue every soul, but what about the precautionary measures? Why is it so hard to put a metal detector on a school ground? Why is it so difficult to put what they got one in government official offices?
Absolutely.
You can't walk in no courtroom.
Right. And that happened as a result of someone coming in and shooting up a judge.
Exactly.
And
so why is it there and not on the school?
So whenever it happens, then the people who are in those buildings, they say, oh, no, this is not going to happen here again. We're going to make sure that nobody gets in here without being searched. And so same thing, airports. You know, if we are creating an environment where people are mentally ill, and then we're placing weapons in their hands by making them available, either from gun shops or even to be ordered online. We're making it possible for people to have weapons of mass destruction and be mentally ill. Then at least the first step, like you say, it has to be the safety and security of our buildings where people can enter. And that even includes movie theaters, you know, which...
Everywhere. I think it needs to be on grocery stores. I think it needs to be a mandate that they do it even on grocery stores. I'm so serious.
Until
I think it needs to be everywhere.
Until we stop selling guns, that's what has to happen. We got a couple of callers on the line. But, I mean, really, a weapon is only a weapon based on the mind of its user. So a knife and fork can be a deadly weapon. So ultimately, you have to heal the mind. But an automatic rifle, a weapon that's intended to kill, that is its purpose. So there isn't any other reason for that. So and as long as weapons of war are being sold, then at least we can protect the population who are inside of buildings where they want to function, whether it be grocery stores, theaters, schools, with having all entranceways guarded by metal detectors. Now, that's kind of cumbersome. Wouldn't it be easier if we just stop selling the weapons? Well, yeah, that's what has to happen, but wouldn't it be easier if we stop abusing people so they don't become destructive human beings? That's the simplest, non-costly thing to do. Stop being
Again,
mean to people.
You're looking for a rational answer in an irrational world. Listen, if that was the case, the peace movement that pushed for freedom, pushed for peace, that right there would just
I mean,
stop
that is the answer.
Everything. It stops everything, right? But people don't have no peace.
That
they
is the
don't
answer.
Don't have any peace of mind.
Yes.
That's what it is. Okay, then we're right back to, you know, to the very beginning of the same thing we were talking about. You know,
yes.
It's just an ongoing loop of self-destruction.
Yeah. I mean, it's cheaper to just be kind, but until we figure that out, we're going to keep going through this.
Yes.
Well, let's take some callers. And if you're on our switchboard now and have a question or a comment for Dr. Debbie, just press 1. If you're listening online and want to join the conversation, call in 515-605-9325 and press 1. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, write your comments in the space and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And let's go to area code 773-450. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green.
Grand Rising, hallelujah, greetings, and good morning, everybody. You know, it's interesting. All this stuff is played out deliberately if nobody was paying attention. Why would they create guns online that you don't need anything but a prototype for if they didn't expect people to use them? First of all, we have a real destructive paradigm. We have to change this whole thing. Some people are not going to make it the way they do this. You know, every night I go home, I live in Chicago in a West Englewood neighborhood. They shoot people in here just for sitting in the car. So all of this stuff I'm aware of, then I'm not scared to be in the street. But, T, you are going to have to decide what's going to happen. Society's created as a me, mine, I existence when we are a we, us, and our. And if we don't promote that, what are we going to end up with? Destruction. It's created. I mean, even in my lifetime, they talked about the six-year-old that went in the classroom threatening students and he shot the teacher. Well, he was white, but I wonder how many acts of violence he had been involved in his short 72 months of living.
That's violence
is in the video games. You get extra points for killing people. Violence is so permeated by a game called, what is that, a Grand Theft Auto? Until today, 13-year-olds knock their grandmama to the ground, take her purse, and drive off in her car. Now, what type of sense would that make? That you push your grandmother to the ground, snatch her purse, and walk away. It's a group of cowards. What are they? Are they even human? Who does that to a grandmother? But see, we're creating that. That's why I said yesterday when they created the senior citizen homes to take the parents, to take the old people out, they created that. Everything is created, so why is anybody surprised? Look at the president and the vice president and these elected officials that somebody created and put in control. Are they really helping us? So why are people so surprised? I mean, all this is dictated, created on purpose. I used to walk down the street and we speak to each other. No one was afraid. Today when somebody speaks to you, people put up a defense like, oh, they must be trying to do something to me. And they're just saying, well, speaking well, or saying hi. What in society have we evolved to that we're like that? That's my question. So all I know is we've got to do something different. And lastly, it's just too much electronica. You got TV going 24 hours, 365 days a year. They cut TV off for the test pattern when I was growing up. And as it's normal for children to be bullied in school, they do it all the time. I was so bullied and hated until I would have taken my own life. But what good does that do? It actually makes you a better adult because you realize you don't need all that foolishness to survive. It makes you walk a very slow, lonely road. But guess what? That's the road to survival, and that is the road to the next paradigm. That's where we need to be already. So I'm already on the We Us and Our. Anybody else that wants to join, let's go. Everybody else is going to just get destroyed. Be blessed, y'all.
Thank you so
much.
And I believe that was Brother Obadiah from Chicago. I think when we choose to project the peace and love and kindness and compassion to others, we can actually control the environment that we create around ourselves. And like you said, you may not be able to save everybody, but you can create your own life experience by what you project from your own heart. And this is reality. Like you said, we're all connected. The energy that you put forth touches everybody. You can change the energy of an entire room of people by what you project. And when we know that we have that power to affect the energy of everyone where we are, just like you can come in with negative energy with a gun and kill up a classroom, you can come in with positive energy and create a calmness, a peacefulness, a joy. You can do that. I mean, just think of comedians who, someone like a Kevin Hart or Chris Rock that can, you know, hold an entire stadium full of people and make them laugh, bring up the level of joy. One person. That's a gift. And we all have the same capacity. Somebody with a song, a Beyonce, or, you know, somebody who can sing, or a Rihanna, a whole stadium, you know, millions of people, and bring up a level of joy with a musical performance. That's a gift. So we can change the energy of everywhere we are. And by the same token, you have a teacher in a classroom, she can make those students feel happy and joyful and laughing and full of that spirit of unity by encouraging each other, or she can make them feel angry and hateful and hostile by pointing one out and castigating another and ridiculing another, so that everybody comes in there with anxiety wondering, am I going to be next? Am I the next one to be publicly humiliated and have people tease me and have the teacher look the other way when it happens? So everywhere we are, we have the power to create. We have to be conscious creators of where we are. And like Obadiah said, just speak to people with kindness. Some of them are like, ooh, why are you talking to me? But that's because of what they've experienced with other people. But eventually, you'll see a difference. Even the people that you might think are scary looking, or you're in your own mind stereotyping them because they look like the person that was on the news being carried away in handcuffs. See the soul inside the body and speak to that soul, heart to heart, soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Send love everywhere you go, and you'll be surprised at the miracles you create. You'll be surprised. We do have the power to turn this thing around, but we have to know how to use that power.
That's true. And just be consciously aware of your surroundings. See, what happens is all of this, again, is mass self-destruction, and it wants to innate fear inside of you. It wants you to feel uncomfortable thinking that, you know, this world that we live in is crumbling, and, you know, there's people on this earth that have a sense of being, sense of kindness, sense of peace, you know, no matter what they see or what they hear. But again, the goal is to pay attention to your children. What we are finding out in the institution is that more families are homeschooling now. They're literally taking their children out of the school completely and homeschooling. And because of the bullying, but most of all because they don't know how to bring a gun to hurt another human being. So they don't Well, because there's no protection, again, at the school, you know. And then you have families that struggle with homeschooling because they got to go to work and they have to pay their bills. And they can't have their children sit at home because they cannot afford child care. You see how this is?
So this
it's a deep situation.
Yeah, and it should motivate us to be more cooperative. If you live on a block of what, 40 homes, and you have some parents who maybe are at-home workers or either work from home or homemakers full-time, and then you have others that must leave the house, and everybody who has children needs some kind of way to feel like their child is safe, maybe you can get together and form your block club and form cooperative ways where, you know, one or two parents on the block, they're the ones where their house is a safe place where children can learn, and you can have, and I know there are places where parents did this during the pandemic and are still doing it, creating these homeschool environments. Until we and our public institutions can remove the insanity of the possibility of a mass shooting, we have to go back to what is safe, and that is the small community, the small gatherings, teaching in the home. And there are many online homeschooling programs. Now, not every parent is a teacher, but everything taught to teachers is not necessarily good for our students anyway, because some of the things that teachers do in classrooms for the sake of trying to manage a classroom of 30 students, some of it's harmful. And one of those things, public humiliation, that is a classroom management tool that I've watched teachers use because that's the only thing they know. Okay, if I insult you bad enough, then everybody else will be afraid of being embarrassed, so they will sit down and be quiet like I asked because they know if they misbehave, I'm going to publicly insult and humiliate them. So that is the way our teachers have been taught to manage a classroom. And what does it do to the self-esteem?
The teachers that don't have that.
Teachers who don't have any other skills.
Work.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing as parenting skills. If you've been taught to insult your child and beat your child and ridicule your child because you think this is good parenting, this is teaching them respect, you don't know the better way to teach your child. You don't know how to use love and encouragement to bring the best out in your child. You don't have that skill. So you create the child that is angry and wanting to go out and bully others because they've been made to feel bad. And you don't know that you did that because it was done to you. So lack of knowledge is what makes us harm each other. When we have better skills, then we make better decisions. We have to stop the cycle of violence by stopping the cycle of meanness and treat each other better so that we can plant seeds of goodness instead of seeds of anger. This is, it's a simple thing to do, and yet if you don't see it, you don't know how to create it yourself. And those who know how have to demonstrate it. To see the light, be the light. That's what it takes.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you know, the goal is to, you know, check yourself, you know, check yourself. Not thinking that it's always somebody else's issue. But just look, you know, as Michael Jackson said, look at the man in the mirror, you know. Ask him, are you okay?
Yeah.
You know, we need to change your ways.
Yeah.
Change your ways and how you, your perception. You know, when people don't have control over something, they automatically think it's negative.
Right.
Now, stop labeling things. You know, you can save yourself so much stress. Stop labeling things good or bad. Keep yourself neutral so you can see the bigger picture. Because when you say it's bad, it's going to affect the way you feel.
Yeah.
It's going to affect how you think. If you say it's a negative thing, so how about just let it be neutral,
let
so you can, like, okay,
let it be.
This thing is happening to me. I may not agree with what this thing is doing, or I may not agree how I feel about what this thing is doing. But the question is, why is the button in there in the first place that's being pushed? You need to look at the button that's inside of you instead of just assuming that it's something else or someone else's issue. You see what I'm saying?
Right. We took the last break already, didn't we? I think we did.
Yeah,
okay. Can't remember stuff. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, we did, really. Yeah, we did. So, we got another caller on the line. I was trying to remember, did we miss the break? No, we did. We took the break. Okay.
Now, we didn't,
yeah.
No, we didn't miss the break. So, you know, the overall, what I'm saying is, when you check yourself first and ask yourself, how can I be a better person just to myself? And then when you do that, you're going to look at those habits and responses and reactions that, you know, your nervous system. You have reactions of the nervous system, and you got the reactions from your mind, which is your frontal lobe. Now, if you're living from the reactions of your nervous system, oh, I'm so sorry, that's not an option for you. Mm-hmm. You might as well change that because you're all in your feelings. If somebody looks at you too hard, you're going to assume the worst. You see what I'm saying? Because you're nervous, you're living life from an impulsive mindset of fear thinking. So let's change that. And when you change that, change it in your children. Notice that, you know, if you start seeing a child with low self-esteem, closing down, come to them and say, you know what? You're beautiful.
Yeah.
You are, and even so, they don't always believe that. It's because someone
told
them something that they were not.
Yes.
And they believed what they were.
That's right, what you
and
believe.
And now they have this mindset of thinking, I'm not good enough. I'm not this. People don't like me. Okay, here comes the fear. The fear is deep down inside. So when they go out in the public, that fear then produces more fear. That's inside that person. Here comes the incident. Here comes the consequence of situation that feeds that fear. Whatever is inside of us, we attract. That's what I'm saying.
That's true. That's true. We got another caller on the line.
Okay.
And if you're on our switchboard, please press 1 now if you have something to say, because we're in our last few minutes and we want to give you enough time to speak because we're not going overtime. Dr. Debbie got to go to work at the top of the hour, so we want to make sure we give you a chance to speak. We're not going overtime today. So let's go to area code 312-671. Thank you so much for joining us. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question for Dr. Debbie Green. Oh, no.
We are in Yashalom. Assalamu alaikum,
you know,
Brother Minister Plump, Robert Florida, Chicago, Illinois. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, Mr. Plump, hold that thought for just a second. What happened is, my computer disconnected from Dr. Debbie Green, so she can't hear you just yet. So give me a moment. We're going to take a quick commercial break while we get our computer back up, because I want to make sure she hears your comments. And for the rest of you who are on our switchboard, make sure you press 1 so that we give you enough time to make your statement or your comment for Dr. Debbie Green. Give us just one moment for us to reconnect with Dr. Debbie Green. And, of course, you can join her on our Facebook page, Soulful Solutions. Dr. Debbie Green is on Facebook and YouTube. So you can join her for a visual connection if you like. And we're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we invite you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. You're listening to The Female Solution, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solutions Global Radio TV show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
All righty, and thank you all so much, and we are back with Dr. Debbie Green.
Wait line is so great that we can't get an appointment. The quickest way that you can get an appointment and get help is to take them to a mental health hospital. Mental hospital, they're going to assess them. After they assess them, the next thing they're going to do is put them in a program. Either they're going to go in outpatient where they go home and come back, and if it's severe, they may have to go inpatient for a few days. You see what I'm saying? To get what they need.
Absolutely.
But it's better that you help them now than wait until something happens.
Absolutely.
So, you know, mental illness is real.
Illness is real, yes. Well, we are back. Yes, we have two callers. We've got 312-671, and then now we've got 312-848 after that. So, Minister Plump, go right ahead with your question for Dr. Debbie Green.
Thank you, Sister Naima Latif and the Female Solution, and especially you too, Dr. Debbie Green. We know that a part of the solution to what you have said and continue to share with us is really our desire and our will to go and return to God. You know, back in the day, there was black people that was in love with black people, and most of all, they was in love with God. And we have come up with a positive TMA, positive mental attitude, by becoming accountable for our own conditions in our community and support our efforts as we have exercised change. And that is the one thing that what you just last mentioned is that the people have to go to a mental institution in order to change, and whether that's a short time or a long time. They, especially our people, need to create a way of life that we can continue in the struggle, the movement, and the coalition for Black Love Matters too. And I think, you know, that everything that God created, he created in pairs. So it is a serious situation that begins at the home with the father and the mother, as well as with the children. And everybody can really help save the children if they return to the village. And it takes a village to raise one child, and no one can raise a kid. The problem is the kid. The kid is when children be other than themselves and they act as a beast. And that's what a kid is a beast, and is a rebellious beast against God. So we have to return to God in order to develop ourselves and be ourselves and to share success breeds success, which is a key to success, and that's the information and coordination and cooperation with God, your family, as well as with the community. So I just thank you for this little opportunity to share that thought, and you all keep up the good work, you know, because you all, it's a need.
It is a need what you're doing, and that's a true opportunity to be a part of the solution. And you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. So everybody can help stop the violence, robbing, stealing, and killing, like you say, Sister Naima, by being kind. It is nice to be nice, and it is respect that helps us all in this life. Your brother and friend, Minister Prompt, and hopefully you all might be interested in coming to see Minister Farrakhan on the 26th of February, which is this Sunday. We do have tickets, and brothers and sisters can call us at 312-671-2773. Get some tickets.
Thank you, Minister Plump. We appreciate you always sharing and being a source of information for those who are in and around the Chicagoland area. Certainly give them a call. And we do appreciate the fact that all of us have the power to affect the lives we touch, and we can choose to do so by what we give forth out of our own hearts, which is love. And let's see if we can get to, we've got two more callers. Let's see if we can get to 312-848 and then 706-202. We've just got a few minutes left, so go ahead with your question or comment. Area code 312-848, your mic is open. Please state your name, where you're calling from, and your comment for Dr. Debbie Green.
My name is Sheeta Ali, calling from Chicago. You know, I was thinking every... Yes, greetings.
Greetings.
I was thinking that since colonial days, they always had some form of weapon. But in our community, my opinion is that we need to start the clinic process, you know, a process for healing our minds, and to make us not know it all and do nothing, but people who are doing something about healing process, because it's too much trauma, and you can't say the trauma is caused from the mama. You can say the trauma is caused from the community at large. That's my opinion. And in order to heal, we have a lot of holistic efforts that have been brought forward and toward healing. And we need, I know I am joining the team to organize precinct by precinct to start the healing. Because everybody who talks and everybody who does not create harm on each other are still not sane. You know, they're not well. So we all have some form of trauma that we experience, but some are more emotional and more devastating to others. So I believe wholeheartedly if we can start organizing clinical process in our community especially, then we can, you know, we can start a form of healing, because it can't all be... All the trauma can't be blamed on mama. You know, it's got to be blamed on mothers and mama, because sometimes mama is traumatized. So that's
there you
I
go.
Think.
Well, thank you so much, Rashida. And, you know, she hit the nail on the head. A lot of times our mothers are traumatized, like you say, the single
Absolutely.
Mothers that have to do everything. We've got one more comment, question here at 706-202. Thank you so much for joining this conversation. Got about a minute. Go right ahead with your thought for Dr. Debbie Green.
Assalamu alaikum and grand rising to Dr. Debbie Green. This is Brother Kwame here in Eatonton, Georgia. And the thing that we have to sometimes look at is saying, we used to have Big Mama's houses that all the kids knew to go to and hang out at after school and during playtime. What we're looking at is we've lost community. We're now looking at we're in the hood. And a hood means is that you can't see what's around you if you're wearing a hood. And we have to begin to take down that hood and begin to look at how do we come back to community, like you were saying, the block clubs. But then I was watching there in Zimbabwe, what they have is called a friend bench, that they get the young people and they sit them down and they have conversations. We need to use our elders. Yes, we have traumas with mama, but we got to look at the grandmothers. The grandmothers used to be the therapists in the community, and we stopped giving our children lap time with grandma and grandpa with the boys, and we started giving them laptops. And that is a distraction. You know, the thing that we have to begin to do is to show that child that they are important and begin to give them love and time. Those are two things that children want that you, I don't care how much money you got, you can't not buy love and time. And these
there
are
you go.
For guys. For guiding young people, and especially when they get to the point where they're changing from a child to a young adult. And in that puberty, we have to add the lessons of how to be caring and how to be a man, how to be a woman. So these are some of the tools I feel that we need to begin to look at and going back. They blew down all the projects in there. We got to create the communities that we need to rebuild again.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, Baba Kwame. Definitely that is it. We got to create those safe houses for our children, those elders that used to provide the love. That's the community. And like Rashida said, organize so that everyone is known and nobody is anonymous. So we got time for our last words from Dr. Debbie Green. You're on the field.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, again, you know, the aftermath of what we feel from pain each and every day is something I just compared to a cup. And when that cup runs over, you know, it comes out in so many different ways out of a human being that is. It comes out in a silent cry. It comes out in a scream or yell. It sometimes even comes out where we are using our hands and fists to hit walls and to hit other people. But the question is, where is the healing coming from? You know, is there a healing balm? Is there a healing factor? We know that God is going to be God the same way. He's nothing but love. But even God's love cannot remove us from our pain. Unless we decide to make some differences in ourselves, unless we decide to be totally self-aware and totally self-disciplinized, we have to discipline ourselves. We have to set our property lines in life, set our boundaries, and know who we are, because we lost our own fabric of who we are, what happened to the simplistic things of life back in the day. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we know murder was still on the land, but it's not like it is now. 50 years ago, no one can tell me it's the same exact way, because it is not. No, we have festered. The splinter in the finger has become infected.
Mm.
And so now the only thing to do is to use love. And love is always the answer. Love yourself first. When you love yourself first and every way you can love yourself, not just your physical man, but your inner man, you will find out that love will help your cup to run over.
There we go.
Thank you so much, Facebook watchers. Thank you. Thank you so much, YouTube. Subscribe to our channel. We're here every day. Female Solution, as well as every Thursday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., you know, Central Standard Time and Eastern Standard Time. And we're just here to help you. That's what we want to do, is to help you gain a little more knowledge to live this thing called life. Thank you so much. Thank you, Naima.
Thank you, as always. Fantastic show. Here's love.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/TheFemaleSolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Geret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.